Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Vav. So we're at the bottom over here of Nun Hei Omid Beis, and let me just remind you where we were up. We were talking about the question of why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there was only one kan in the Heichal to set down the blood on. So we thought that the problem was that he was going to get confused because Rabbi Yehuda held that we don't write things and rely on people to read labels. Nobody reads labels. They all take the wrong medicines and so on and so forth. So we're afraid that the Kohen Gadol is going to end up getting confused if he can put down both of them. So we only have one kan, and we force him, therefore, to pick up the dam that he's going to be working on and only then set down the other dam, right? That's what we thought. Then we proved that, no, that's ridiculous. But it actually turns out that it's Reb Yehuda who was the one that authored the entire complicated Mishnah about the labeling system that was on all of the shofarot. So it's ridiculous to say that Reb Yehuda is the one who doesn't hold that you can write things. Okay, so then we needed to understand. So then what is the reason that we will only have one? So this was the issue that we had before. We had tried to bring the raya first from the fact that he said that there was no such thing, remember, as a special shofar that you could put in the Demei Chatas, and that's why he was worried about Ta'aroves. And so we ended up saying that actually the reason was not because he was going to get confused, and it's true he won't get confused. We'll get back to our Khan in a moment. He would not get confused. And the reason that we were nervous was because we were afraid, Yaakov, please mute yourself, we were afraid that someone might die. And if someone died, and then we would have a chata shemetu ba'aleha, we'd have to throw out all the money in the entire thing. And so we're right now in a tangential moment where we were talking about what would be the problem if the guy died anyway. Couldn't we just take out the expenses that were covering one chatas, which is four zuz, and select that for the gentleman who died or woman who died and throw it into the Amamelach, and then everything else would be okay? So the last thing that we said was the reason that that wouldn't work, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is because Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of Breira. And to be able to select something and say, this is the thing that was meant to be X, initially is totally the expression of the idea called Breira, that things that end up being a certain way are actually meant to be that way, and that you can treat nature as if it's all causal. And therefore, you can say, well, whatever it was going to be then is basically in the cards right now, and that is what I'm selecting. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold to that. So we got up to Minolan, which is four lines up from the bottom of Nun Hei Omid Beis, and that's the idea of who says. How do we know that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold a Breira? And we've had this Gemara several times that go through all the possibilities why we think that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a Breira, and I'm sure that you remember it very well. And each time we start off with the same kind of proof. So we say, okay, is it from the famous case of what do you do when you don't have any container to take off trumas and maaseros? You just went out, you bought some wine, it's Erev Shabbos, it's almost time for Shabbos, you've got to get this stuff maasered, and you do not have a container to put any of the wine into to say, okay, this is the truma, this is the maaser, and so on. So what do? So it says over there, that alokeach yain mibein hakutim Erev Shabbos, if you're going to buy wine from Kutim. Now, normally we would talk about buying wine from an Amaretz, and we would be dealing only with Dmai. Problem is that this cannot be referring to Amaretz because it wants to talk about taking off Truma Gedola as well. And to take off Truma Gedola, there was no din of Dmai on Truma Gedola because Amaretz would take off Truma since even the tiniest bit would pot to the entire Kri. So there's no loss involved in taking off Truma. But over here, when you buy from Kutim, even though the Kutim were very makpit for themselves on the mitzvahs of Truma and Maisras, they were not makpit on Lifnei Iver Lotiten Michshol, because they, again, as was their wont, they went ahead and explained that to mean don't put a stumbling block in front of someone who's blind, which, of course, has nothing to do with selling people tray for wine. So what's the problem of selling tray for wine? Anyway, so therefore, you'd have to take off your Trumas and Maestros both. That's why we take this case. So what can you do? So what you do is you stand up and you say like this, Shnei Lugin Shani Atid Lahafrish Harei Hen Truma. I'm going to be taking off 2 lug out of the 100 lug that I have over here. So that's enough for 1 out of 50 to be the shear of Truma Benonit. And when I do that, which will be after Shabbos, because I can't do it on Shabbos, but when I do that, When I do that, whenever I do that, doesn't matter because I'm going to be mafresh it now. So when I do that, Shani Atid Lafresh are now truma. Harei hen truma, they are truma from this point forward. Even though I don't have the ability to do it right now, but when I get my kli, I will do it, and then that's as if it's done. 10 lug is Maaser Rishon out of the 100. Now that doesn't make too much sense, does it? Because I already took off 2 lug, so I only have to take off 1/10 of 98. So why does it say 2? So there's 2 approaches to this. The normal approach that we say all over is that it's lav davka. When it says 2, it means it. I mean, when it says 10, it means really the 9.8, and we're just approximating. But there's one das of Tesis that doesn't bring it here, who holds that when we tell you that there's a chiev to take off 1 out of 50, that's entirely derabbanan. And the derabbanan did not make that shear of 1 out of 50 in a fashion that would lessen the amount that you'd be giving for Maaser Rishon. And since theoretically you could have given for Truma a tiny seed, and that would have been enough. So because of that, you still take off your full 10% of the original 10% for Maaser Rishon. Okay, that's the other approach. Anyway, you're now left with 90, right? Again, assuming that it means literally you took off 10. So 90, I have to take off another 10% for Maaser Sheni, which gives you 9. So I take off Tisha for Maaser Sheni. Now, the Maaser Sheni, even though I haven't yet taken it out, but I can take off the Kedusha of the Maaser Sheni by being Mechalal it right now on a Shava Pruta, and then I have no problem. And then I can drink it immediately. So, Mechel v'shotem yad, divrei Rabbi Meir. Now, obviously, I could have done something else. I could have said, and 9 that I will be taking off will be Maaser Sheni when I take it off. So, I mean, in that kli. So why do I have to be mechalal? I mean, I don't really have to be mechalal since it's going to be removed from the mixture. That will be the place of the Maaser Sheni when I remove it. But the point is, whatever I can do now to complete the entire process, I should do now. So if I were able to set aside the Maaser Sheni now, so I would be mechalal it now, and now have everything ready to drink. Since lemaisa it's mixed with everything else, that's the best way to do it. So says Rabbi Meir. Now, how can I do this since I'm relying on what is going to happen in the future? And I'm saying that that will be the truma when it is subsequently selected, obviously because of the idea of Brera. So it's here Rabbi Meir is saying, I hold a Brera, and you can do that. But Rabbi Yehuda, disagrees, together with Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, and they say, you can't do that. Okay, I guess the reason they say you can't do that is because Alma ain't Brera. They say there is no way to determine later what is now going to be defined as Truma and Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni. So you see that he doesn't hold a Brera, and that makes everything work out just fine. Since he doesn't hold a Brera, he won't have any way of getting rid of the money of the Chatot HaMetot in the event that somebody dies and had put in money into the shofar. And so it's great. Says the Gemara, how do you know that that's because of Brera? Dilma Shaini Hatam, Kidik Tani Taima. It says over there, what Reb Yehuda and Reb Yossi and Reb Shimon objected to Rebbe Meir. They didn't say to Rebbe Meir, but wait a minute, how can you rely on Breira? They said to him, what good is relying on Breira if it turns out that there never will be anything that was separated? Why would there never be anything that's separated? Because 5 minutes from now, the bottle can burst and you won't have any wine to separate from. So how are you drinking now based on something that's going to happen later if it will never happen? So, maybe the wineskin can break. Now you're relying on something that never happened, and you're going to end up drinking tevel. The Amar Lahem, to which Rebbe Meir responded, nu, l'kish yibaka, when it breaks, I'll worry about it. Until then, I don't have to worry about it. I mean, what's the likelihood that it's going to break? I'll give it to somebody to watch, so big deal. I mean, the Rabbanan don't make takanas on some off chance that something will go wrong, so worry about it when it happens. Okay, so therefore, this is no riot. So where do we know that Rebbe Yehuda doesn't hold a Breira? This could be a different problem that it might never happen at all. Ah, so that's from the famous case that we had, that Ayo listed in the Braita. The Tani Ayo. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Ein Adam Matne Al Shnei Dvarim Ke'echad. You cannot make up your mind tomorrow where it is that you want your Erev to be. Remember that the Erev has to be selected as your Mokum Shvisa. This is talking about an Erev of a Tchum. So your Erev has to be selected at the moment before Shabbos is Chal to be Koveh the Mokum Shvisa for Shabbos. Now, you don't know where you want to go tomorrow. So you've got two possibilities. You've got a Shir on the Parsha over in a town that is more than 2,000 amot away to the east. And then you've got a shir on the Daf Yomi in a town that is more 2,000 lamas away in the west. Now, this is a tough decision, and you're having a rough time making up your mind before Shabbos. I don't know. Maybe I'll really be in the mood for Daf Yomi shir tomorrow. So you say, okay, I'll make up my mind tomorrow. And here is my Erev. And you put down an Erev in both directions, which could enable you either to walk to one or to walk to the other. And you say, whichever is the one that I decide to go to tomorrow, that's the one I want to be my Erev now. So you are basically relying on Breira. So Rebbe Yehuda is quoted over here as saying you can't do that. If the Chacham comes to the Mizrach, you could say the Erev is to the Mizrach. If it comes to the Ma'arav, the Erev is to the Ma'arav. So if you only have one Chacham, you don't know where he's coming. He is currently in a place which has a diagonal to location A, which is more than 2,000 amas to the east, or to location B, which is more than 2,000 amas to the west. And he's going to arrive on Shabbos. You don't know where he's going to arrive. And you have to determine right now. So that you can do, which doesn't make any sense, as we'll point out in the moment. So that's the only type you could say, that if the Chacham is in the east, then I want to be in the east. If the Chacham is the west, I want to be in the west. But you cannot make up, in the event that there were two possible places, you cannot decide tomorrow and have that be your Erev now. Avalakan, velakan, lo. You will notice that the one who said the quote of Rabbi Yehuda is Mr. Where is he? Ayo. So that's the point. I don't know if the Chacham is to the east or the Chacham is to the west, but you can't leave your own mind unmade up, right? Now we ask, well, what the heck is the difference? Why did you Rebbe Yehuda say that you can't make up your mind tomorrow and nonetheless have your Erev Bichal right now? That's obviously because of Ein Breira. You don't hold of Breira, right? But then that would be the same thing if the Chacham is only going to arrive on Shabbat. You don't know now, and you're going to say, wherever the Chacham arrives, that will be the place where I will go. That's also dependent on Breira, for heaven's sakes. So that doesn't make any sense. And Rabbi Yochanan explained, no, you don't understand. You don't know where the Chacham is, but the Chacham already arrived. How are you supposed to know when you'll find out on Shabbos? So over there, the event already happened. So you're saying, okay, I don't have to know. I'm saying wherever it is, that's the one that I want. That's not dependent on Brera. That's not dependent on something that's going to happen. There, I just need to find out the facts. That's all. So it's as if I gave a shliach an Erev. I told him, make me an Erev either to the east or the west, and then let me know where you made it, you know. So the shliach comes back during Shabbos and says, yeah, I didn't have time to come before Shabbos, but I made it in the east. Fine, okay, that's exactly what this is. So that's the only case. But we see from there that indeed Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of Brera. By the way, I just want to mention on the side that there is a fascinating alternative explanation to this, as Tosis brings out, which is there might be a difference between Brera about something that is dependent on your own mind being made up later, as opposed to Brera, which has to do with a situation that will occur. Because you could say that the entire meaning of your mental freedom precludes determinism. And therefore, you would never say Brera about what it is that I am going to decide, because you can't have a known now what it is that you're going to decide, by definition, because that's the meaning of what it is that you're going to decide. Masha Enkin, when it comes to an event that will take place, there, perhaps, you could have Brera. Okay. So that might be an alternative, but the Gemara doesn't use that alternative. In any event, it's a pretty good reason why we wouldn't use that alternative here, because we are not talking about a physical event. We're talking about a physical event that is caused by the Chacham's decision as to where the Chacham wants to go. So it really would just be pushing back another level, you know, till you get to the point where you run out of determinism. Okay, in any event, getting back to the sugya. All right, so now we've explained that it all works out according to Rabbi Yehuda without our needing to claim that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of labeling. Rabbi Yehuda is fine with labeling. The only reason that he's got this problem about the shofarot is because of Vechatas HaMesa, and he doesn't hold of Brera, right? Okay, so now we're back to our original question. If Rabbi Yehuda will acknowledge that we could label each one of those cons that we have in the Heichal, let's put up two. On one of them will say Dama Par, and on the other one will be a little label that says Dama Sa'ir. And that way, when the Kohen puts down the blood, there's no problem of getting mixed up. So why did Rabbi Yehuda say you cannot do it? We still don't understand that. Says the Gemara, Hash to Damrin Rabbi Yehuda Ein Breira, which means that Rabbi Yehuda does agree that you can label things, and it should be possible, therefore, to label the kan in the Heichal, Haktiva Itle, so Yom HaKippurim Nami Navitre. Let's make two bases, and let's put a label on each one. Menichta Valayu, we're going to write Dama Par on one, and Dama Ser on the other one. Answers the Gemara, the reason that we don't do that is because Yom Kippur is not a normal day. It's true that usually Rabbi Yehuda would rely on labeling, but over here, Mishum Chulshit the Kohen Gadol Lava Daite, because of the fact that the Kohen Gadol is under tremendous pressure, and he's really weak, confused, he's in the middle of a fast, and everything is happening around him like a blur. So because of that, he may miss the label. If you're not worried about that, then explain to me why you would even need a label. It's rather obvious which one of these contain the Dama Par, and which one contains the Dama Sayer, even if it wouldn't be written on it. Because look, the Ilote Machi below Ktiva Nami, it's easy to identify which contains the Dama Par, because high nafish, there's much more Dam from a Par than there is from a Sayer. And therefore, one has a lot of blood, Vahai Sutra, and the other one has a little bit. And don't try to tell me, yeah, I mean, that's how much dam there is in a par. But when it comes to the dam that the Kohen Gadol is holding, maybe he takes the same amount of dam from the par and the sayer. No, that is not true, because then you would have to say that he does not do a Kabbalah on all of the dam. And that's wrong, because v'chite melom kabbalei l'kule, v'ya'omer ev yudah ha'shochet tzer shekabel et kol damo shel par. After doing the shechita, he's got to be mekabel every last drop of that parshinama v'et kol dama par yishpoch al yisod ha-mizbeach. And therefore, we see that in general, the din of Kabbalah is to be mekabel everything. Okay, so that's not the answer. So what's the answer? Why can't he know the difference? How could he get confused? The answer is because he's confused. And Enochinami, it's only because of the special qualities of the day that is making it possible to be confused. Not to mention the fact, okay, that in the unlikely event that you want to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda says, well, maybe he dropped the kli and a lot of the dam fell out, so that now he's only got the same amount of dam as the sawyer, right? So that's what you'll try to tell me. There's no way to really confuse the dam of a par and the dam of a sawyer. Remember we talked before about zahav parvim? What did we say was the meaning of zahav parvim? Shedome ledam parim. Now that obviously means that there's a special quality to the dam of parim, right? And there is. The dam of a par is an extremely deep and rich red coloration, which the dam of a sa'ir is not. And if you look into the kli that you're holding the dam in, you can't get mixed up because it's obvious which one is the dam of par and which one is the dam of sa'ir based on coloration alone. So even if you don't want to rely on the amount, you would still know the difference. And therefore, it must be, you're going to have to explain the fact that you're nervous about the Kohen Gadol getting mixed up, despite the fact that he shouldn't be mixed up, because if he's calm about it, he can easily reconstruct which is which. Why is he mixed up? Obviously, because of the Chulsha of the Kohen Gadol, Lava Daita is unable to concentrate, Ochanami, so then even if we would label it, it's the same question. Mishum Chulsha of the Kohen Gadol, Lava Daita, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda did not want there to be two of these bases, because you got to cover all your bases just in case the Kohen gets confused. Ahudinochis Kameda Rava. And now, in classic fashion, so now we have in the upcoming Gemara, we have an example of why it is that when the Shliach Tzibur says over some kind of poem about what the Kohen Gadol does in the Beis HaMikdash, it's always full of mistakes. So the same thing happened in front of Rava. The Shliach Tzibur was reading his version of the poetry about what the Kohen Gadol did, and as usual, it was messed up. So what he said was, in his poem, so he was Nochis, the Kame de Rava, and he says, Yatza v'hinicho al kancheni shebechal. The Kohen walks out, puts down the Dama Sawyer on the second one of the bases, and then he takes the Dama Par and puts down the Dama Vesoyer, which is ridiculous. Because as Rava pointed out to him, hold on here, buddy. Chodek Rabbanan v'chodek Rabbi Yehuda? I mean, if there were two cons, then he did not first pick up the Dama Par and then put down the Dama Sayer. That's only according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that there was only one con. But you just said in the first line of your poem that he put it down on the second con. So make up your mind. You can't have it both ways. Ema, what you should say is, he niach dama sayer. If you're going to tell me that there were two kanim and he had put down the par, so then he should put down the dama sayer, menotal dama par. Okay, then we continue on. Vizamimenu ala parochet, keneged aron mi bachutz. So where does he put the dam now that he's finished both the dama par and the dama sayer? Now he walks out into the heichal, picks up the dama par again, sprinkles it keneged the parochet in the place which is directly behind. Now he's on the other side of the parochet where he had been standing before. Tana Rabbana, it says in the pasuk, v'chein ya'aseh le'ohel mo'ed. So this idea, he should do exactly the same thing that he did in the Kodesh HaKodashim, he should also do on the Ohel Mo'ed. And now, this teaches us, Ma Talmud Lomar. So, basically, it could have just said, V'chein Be'ohel Mo'ed. So what is the idea of saying V'chein, the whole long thing, V'chein Yaseh Be'ohel Mo'ed, Ashochein Itam B'toch Tumotam, So K'shem Shema Zeh Lifnai V'lifnim Kach Ma Zeh Be'echal. Ma lifnai v'lifnim achat l'mala v'sheva l'mata midam ha'par. Kach ma'zeh be'echal. Exactly the same. First the dam ha'par, and one up, seven down. K'shem she lifnai v'lifnim achas l'mala v'sheva l'mata midam ha'soyer. Kach ma'zeh be'echal. So this means the same way that we learned out all the limudim in the Kodesh HaKodashim, the same limudim apply with all of the complicated limud that over here it's oto, and therefore by the parat oto, and by the parat sheva, and therefore by the soiret sheva, and therefore al is not really the meaning al, it's the same. Every last bit is exactly the same in the hecha. Kach ma'aseh be'hecha. But why was it necessary to close with the words Hashochen itam betoch tumotam? This comes to tell me that afilu b'sha'ah she'em tmeim shchina imahem, and that means that even because we're doing all of this even at a time where there may be tuma and we have no way of getting rid of the tuma, maybe there's no paras chatas. Doesn't matter. Even if they're Tmeim, the Shekhinah is with them, and that means even if the Chatoim are the equivalent of Tmituma, also the Shekhinah will be with them, and that's the point of the whole Avodah of Yom HaKippurim. Amar le'ahu tzeduki l'Rebbe Chanina. Now, this is clearly not really a meaning of tzeduki. This was a tikkun of the censor. And what it means, that it was one of the Christians who held that the Jews were now rejected. So he says to Rabbi Chanina, Hashta bori tmeim aton. Look, now that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, I mean, read the Pasuk. You know, you believe in the Bible, don't you? So what does it say in Eicha? Dichtiv tum ata b'shuleha. It compares Klal Yisrael to a Nida whose dam is all along the bottom of her skirt. And so everybody knows what you guys are like. The Pasuk says it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rejected you. And give up on this nonsense. The Shekhinah is no longer with the Jews. That's for sure. Amar Leis, Rabbi Chanina said to him, Tachazi Maktivbu. So take a look at the other Pasuk that's in the Bible. HaShokheni Tam B'toch Tumotam. That the fact that we are Tmeim is irrelevant. Because afilu bizman sheheim tmeim, shchina shruya b'neihem. So even if we are tamei, and the pasuk indeed says that tumata b'shuleha makes no difference, because the shchina is with us in any event. Now the question over here is, how did we learn out in the end? We had a hekesh, and that hekesh, we're learning right now. You said, why does it say V'chein Yaseh B'ol Mo'ed? From the Kodesh HaKadoshim, now we're going to apply what we know in the Kodesh HaKadoshim into the Heichal. So all of these limudim are now meant to apply precisely the same way in terms of the number, in terms of the placement, and so on. The problem is you can't make a Hekesh where the entire original limud came from a Hekesh, because Ein lemedim lomad min halomad when it comes to kachim. So the whole thing breaks down. V'chi davar halamed behekesh, chozerum halamed behekesh. Isn't it true that in kachim, and we brought all kinds of rayas for each one of these stages, remember, in zvachim, that you cannot first learn out the dinim that we did. So we had the hekesh that was saying that we're going to be makish the dam hapar to the dam hasoyer. And then we use that to tell me the halacha of one and the halacha of seven and the din of where. And then we use that hekesh to teach me through another hekesh that I should do the same thing in the heichal. Can't do that, says the Gemara. It's not really a hekesh that is lameh behekesh. It's heimenu v'davar acher. The limud is not completely from the hekesh. It's also a limud from its own din. Where do we say that you can't learn a hekesh from a hekesh? That's only where you have only one mocker for the entire halacha. And that was the entire din is coming from a hekesh. But where be'etzem in the dinim over here that we know in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So where are the halakhas learned from? Each one, the pasuk says specifically, right? It says, both on the par, that he should be al hakaporet v'lifnei hakaporet, and by the seir, al hakaporet v'lifnei hakaporet. Now, the only thing that we needed to know from the Hekesh was, well, we know to know that it's seven, and we need to know that it's one, and we need to know that al is the same as lifnei, and that it isn't really literally touching. Okay, but those are not the main derivation. Those are just ancillary issues that we need to learn out of the Hekesh. But the Etzem Halacha, how it is that I'm supposed to, where it is and what I'm supposed to do, I learn out from the words in the Pasuk. So therefore, that's called Hemenu V'davar Acher, where I can learn out the main idea from directly from the Pasuk. I am allowed to use the Hekesh to apply all of the Dinim into the Hechal. So that is not a problem. That's a big machlokas, isn't it? Yes. According to one who says, the shita that says that Hemenu V'davar Acher is not called a limud from Hekesh. I understand you can do that. But what if you hold of the man d'yomer who holds that even the dinim, the prote dinim that require a Hekesh to tell me what was the meaning of what was written beferish in the pasuk is also a Hekesh, and he holds l'man d'yomer havi Hekesh, my ikalamemar. And we had this machlokas in Zvachim. And how then are we able to learn out the dinim of the Zrikas Adam in the Heichal and out of the dinim from the Kodesh HaKadoshim when many of the important dinim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim are basically derived from a Hekesh themselves, which is the Hekesh between the Dam HaPar and the Dam HaSoyer? Answers the Gemara, Mikomotu de Gamri Mehadade. There's two completely different issues over here. The second Hekesh that we spoke about is telling me the din of the Heichal. What is the relationship between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So one Hekesh tells me the Heichal is, for all intents and purposes, the equivalent of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and there are no differences between them. The other Hekesh was not talking about places at all. It was only discussing the dinim of the Dam HaPar and the Dam HaSoyer. That does not come under the general heading of not learning a lamad min alamad, because they have completely different foci. And therefore, to say, first we define the din of a dam, then we define the din of a makam, is each one of them is a unique new hekesh. That's one approach. Or what you could say is, Iboitema, Chutz mi bifnim b'choda zimna gomar. That basically all of the dinim of the Heichal is learnt out from all of the dinim of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And therefore, even though there are elements of the halacha over here that I don't agree that one is just a din in a place and one is just a din of the dam, so what? The bottom line is that you still need two separate steps, and each one of those steps are a separate lamad min halamad. So that is only where, what we're saying now over here, that's only where there are two separate steps. But where the second, what we're saying over here, the second Hekesh, is actually teaching me the exact dinim that apply and are said there, so it's telling me, do the same zrika that it says beferish in the pasuk, do the same thing in the heichal as you did before. So then over there, it's all basically one step. Do the same things. Well, it says to be zorek the dam. The definition of that zorek adam was said about the nature of the zrika sadam in the heichal exactly as it was said about the Zrikas Adam and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So there's a slight distinction over here in that Lomad Min HaLomad might always be Osir, but this is not considered to be the Lomad Min HaLomad at all.